someone disputed the sale after, let's say, a month or two, and the person lost the business and the money.
I've been a recipient of that for like 20 grand, so I will not use PayPal again.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey listener, we're back to the regular schedule. It's a hot and humid Wednesday in Tokyo, and you are now tuned in to Smart Brand Marketing Session 15. One of the quickest ways to make money online is to learn a business model, build up websites, and sell them for a multiple of their monthly revenue. This way, you don't have to wait for years to recoup your investment, whether that's money or time. I did a quick search through my network and found someone that has made a career out of brokering these deals for sellers and buyers. He will give a better insight on what types of businesses sell best, how to quickly improve the sites, how the deal goes down, and what things to avoid. His name is Jacques Perdo, and I'll let him take it from here. So give me some of your background and tell me what made you get into selling businesses.
Let's tackle the first one. I worked in a family business, probably started working for mom and dad when I was 10, and then had the opportunity of buying and selling sort of items in their business. That is kind of where I learned my chops. And then dad had also had a valuation business. So I've done my fair share of business valuations throughout my life. So that's that knowledge. And then when I was in university, I self-taught myself like web design, SEO, PPC, all that good stuff for another business that I had, which is a personal training business. And then that kind of led into doing consulting. And then I bought my first AdSense site in 2009, and then have been buying and selling businesses ever since. Sort of buying and selling led into, you know, brokering sites.
Why buying and selling? What made you pivot into that area?
Mainly because I could see a way of making money, and it's a way that I'd made money before. As I said, I was buying and selling stuff since like I was 10 years old. So essentially, I already had the skill set, already enjoyed it. I was just buying different assets. You know, people buy shares and flip them. People buy houses and flip them. People buy whatever and flip them. I just happened to choose websites because I kind of understood them and I could see the return on investment.
So are you actually buying these websites, improving them and selling them, or are you simply connecting to people?
No, I generally will improve them. I'll look for something that could be improved. It's mainly the conversion rate of the website. I think that's the quickest win you can have when buying an online business, is improving the conversion rate. I don't feel like some deals I could have flipped the next day, but I can add more value in a short time frame. There's no point in selling it quickly if I can extract more value after a short amount of time.
So let's expand on that. When you say improve conversions, what do you actually mean? What do you do to those websites?
If we go to a basic definition, if you've got 1,000 visitors and you're making 50 sales, you've got a conversion rate of 5%. If I can increase that to, let's say, 7% conversion rate, I increase sales by 20, but my profitability might increase sales by 20 is like 20%, but my profitability might increase 50% because of income over fixed costs. So when I say conversion rate optimization and what I'm doing, generally I'm just making it easier for the customer to pull out their credit card and give me some money. A lot of the actual technical implementation is working on updating the design of the site, working on updating the checkout process or the sort of customer flow through the sales process. That's probably the main thing, is just removing that friction.
Do you do this stuff yourself or do you have a team working on it?
I have a team, but I'm instructing the team on what I want to test. I kind of understand conversion rate optimization, but I'm not doing any of the technical implementation.
Okay, so when you look at the sales funnel, right, like what type of things do you encounter that might create friction for the customer?
I've done a lot of stuff with advertising-based sites, so content stuff. And when I say advertising based, I'm talking like, you know, CPA offers, like affiliate stuff. And the business model that we ran was like an education based model. So it was, if you're looking for, I don't know, VPN software as an example, you might type in something like how to watch Hulu in China, for example. So things that we tested were like multi-page processes or like information, or not information, but multi-stage steps versus single stage steps. Like we might have a review that was just one page that we would explain everything, but, or we might split that review into four pages. We actually found that four pages converted better than one page. We did a lot of testing on headlines. And as is always the case, the headline that you think isn't going to work is the one that absolutely smashes everything else. We probably went through like 20 design iterations. Surprisingly, design in this case didn't make a single bit of difference. We'd test different copy. We'd test different styles of copy. So like we tested a very prescriptive style of copy versus a very conversational style of copy. And then with the software business that we had, we increased prices. The other changes we made was we simplified the checkout process. So it was like a three-step, and then we went to a one-step where we had the credit card information, the registering for an account all on one page. That boosted conversion rates like 30%. We tested headlines. I think testing headlines is probably the first thing you want to try.
So how long is this testing process usually from the moment you buy the site to when you're ready to sell it again?
It's just continual. Like one business we owned for 2 years, and we took the conversion rate from 0.69 to 2.16 in a 2 year period. Like we were always testing. Like every month we'd be running a different test to try and improve conversion rates. If you do the math, 0.69 to 0.26 is nearly three times improvement. It's actually 2.7. So over 2 years, we basically, without getting any more traffic, we increased the business by 2.7 times. I guess the answer is we're always on top of it. We're always managing it. It's a continual process.
But obviously after you test something, you need a couple months, I guess, of documentation before you can actually show those results to a buyer, right?
So a buyer's really interested in profit, right? And improvements in conversion rates make your profit go up a lot. In a sense, most buyers are actually looking for something they can get their hands dirty with, as in get the business, take it over, fix it up. So on one side of the coin, you're going to get more money for your business. On the other side of the coin, some people are going to see that you're sort of already maxed out on conversion rates and there's nothing else to improve. So it's a bit of a catch-22.
What type of businesses do you see selling well?
E-commerce is super hot right now, and software as well, getting crazy multiples. Software because of the recurring element, and e-commerce just because it's easily understood by first-time buyers.
Can you get a little more specific on the e-commerce? Are there specific platforms, or are there specific niches, or just e-commerce in general?
Yeah, e-commerce in general, no one gives a shit about what platform it's on. No one cares about the niche, as long as it's not like unkosher. But I had a listing the other day for like a lingerie, like sex toy sites, and that sold. So like it doesn't really matter what niche, they're generally getting about the same multiples.
So on the opposite end, which type of online businesses don't sell well?
Ones that are suffering, ones that have a reliance on like one traffic source where there's kind of red flags. Ones that have an app or a lead generation business model generally get the lowest prices. I'd say those are probably the main businesses that would struggle.
What type of red flags are you looking at or cause websites to not sell?
When the seller blatantly lies about their business in the prospectus, that kills a deal pretty quick. When sellers find another business to buy in the time frame that they're looking at yours, that's killed a few deals of mine. When the business tanks or something changes during due diligence. So, you know, let's say a business is ticking along at, you know, 15 grand a month, and in the month of due diligence, it drops down to 9 for whatever reason, that kills a sale. Lawyers kill a sale. So all you lawyers out there, stop being such nitty-picky about deal points. Generally, I'm not going to list a business that I know isn't going to sell. That's probably the main thing, because obviously I get paid when a transaction occurs or when a deal closes. So I'm incentivized to have a business that's going to sell.
Yeah, I've seen a buddy of mine, he sold a business for, I think, $300,000, and obviously, it was making pretty good income, but it was an AdSense website. And the whole website tanked about 6 months after the sale. How would you handle something like that?
That sucks. That sucks for the buyer. Technically, you can't do anything. It's up to the buyer to do the due diligence and make an offer based on the risk of the business. I'm going to tell someone that if a site's highly reliant on search traffic, then there's a massive risk there that Google slaps it, knocks it out of its search results, turns off AdSense, you know, all of the above. You know, I've never dealt with anything like that, so I don't know how I'd deal with it, to be honest.
You did mention the prospectus. What paperwork is required when trying to sell a business?
So we develop what's called an information memorandum. So paperwork required from a seller would be profit and loss statements. It would be tax returns. It would be traffic stats. We develop an overview of the business. We get clients to fill out a frequently asked questions list. They're the main things that we present to buyers.
When you say tax forms and different stats, how many months or years of those would you need?
We won't list a business that hasn't been in business for less than 12 months. But if you've got a business that's 15 years old, you need 15 years worth of tax returns. You need the full history of earnings.
Okay, so from the whole entire beginning till now. Okay. How is the money exchanged in something like that? I've seen people selling businesses through PayPal, and those caused problems later on. Like someone disputed the sale after, let's say, a month or two, and the person lost the business and the money.
I've been a recipient of that for like 20 grand. So I will not use PayPal again. And mine was after like 8 months or something stupid. So that was annoying. But the answer to that question is we use escrow.com and they manage the transfer process. So basically you set up the job in escrow. What escrow does is they then request the funds from the buyer. Once the funds are in escrow's account, then escrow sends an email to the buyer and says transfer all the funds. And then once that's done, they finish it off and release the money to everyone. And then, you know, everyone's happy.
When is the best time to sell a business?
When it's got that like J curve where there's massive growth and you can see a positive growth trend, that's the best time to sell. The best time to sell is when you don't need to sell, because then he who cares less wins, as they say. So yes, sell when you're growing.
How much of a negotiation is involved between the buyer and seller during that type of a process?
Depends on the size of the deal. Like I've got a deal at the moment that's for sale for $4 million and we've been negotiating. Well, we haven't been negotiating. We've had many offers, but it's been going for 3 months. On the other hand, like I've had offers within a day. So it really depends on the business, the type of buyer, timing, business model. But generally negotiations, probably a couple of days to a couple of weeks would be a good estimate.
When someone thinks that, okay, my business is growing now and I'm ready to sell, how do they find a buyer for that? Who do they go to?
Well, they can come to me, but if I was selling a business myself, I'd personally use a broker just because it's what they do all day, every day. They've got an existing database of buyers. They can help you with valuation, preparing the business for sale, etc. They can also, you know, do it privately, tap their network to see if anyone's interested in buying the business. They can forums, business for sale classified sites, and sort of internet buying companies would be the main places that I look.
Awesome. If people want to contact you or find you, where would they go?
They can go to digitalexits.com. They can get in contact with me there.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.